Where and shade are two very common problems in turf grass areas. St. Augustine grass is not viewed to have very good wear tolerance. According to Dr. Jim Beard, it only has fair wear tolerance, but it has superior shade tolerance, according to Turf Grass Science and Culture by Dr. James Beard. And I was quite interested because shade and wear often occur simultaneously in turf grass areas. And it appears that the combined stress effect from wear and shade at the same time can be quite severe. And here as an example of the shade effect in a stand of laurel oaks in Broward County, Florida, you see that the St. Augustine grass has been thinned out completely in areas receiving about 3% of the relative illumination. 3% either in terms of photometric illumination or in terms of photosynthetic photon flux density. It's about 3%, and typically we get into problems below 10% illumination. That's where the St. Augustine grass does poorly. And there have been a number of studies that have looked at shade tolerance in St. Augustine grass. Some of them looked more at the morphological effects of shade or the morphological traits of grasses that were shade tolerant or were not shade tolerant. And I put myself at the bottom of the list here, listing a number of genotypes of St. Augustine grass that were examined, the relative illumination relative to full direct sunlight that was used in the study, duration of the studies. Most of these were field studies, although at least one was a pot study. Shade levels, some scientists have looked at shade tolerance in turf grasses at different levels and then tried to do some kind of a curvilinear regression to figure out, you know, what the interactive effect is. And that's important because we kind of want to measure things according to some standard. But I have chosen in this particular study to only look at one level of shade, and I might want to come back to that. And notice that a lot of times the relative illumination is probably in the non-stressful range. And so I think one needs to really get down below 20% relative illumination to have a real impact on St. Augustine grass in South Florida. In terms of the results of some of these studies, they generally found that Floratam, Floralawn, St. Augustine grasses had less shade tolerance than some of the others, which is kind of interesting because Floratam is the main St. Augustine grass cultivar in the state of Florida. And so if it's not very shade tolerant, you know, then the advantages that people might be hoping for shade tolerance in St. Augustine are just not going to be produced. Here's an example of an earlier study I did involving seven different St. Augustine grasses in replicates for a three-year period under the shade of trees in a natural hammock on a sod farm. And you can see that the plot of Floratam St. Augustine grass on the left shows quite a bit of thinning due to the presence of shade, whereas Jade, which was a cultivar available at that time in the 1980s, was the best, among the best shade-tolerant types. Visual emphasis is pretty strong. It's hard to quantify exactly, you know, what we're looking at other than, you know, loss of stand and being able to see the ground in the thinned areas of the shade-sensitive Floratam. Here's another example of a different stress. This is where on, in this particular case, bahia grass or Paspalum notatum. We often have temporary parking areas and places that people would like to be able to park cars on the grass, and generally bahia grass in Florida would be the main turf species used for these temporary locations, some of which can, with proper conditioning and preparation of the soil, support good traffic. Now, later I'll talk about decoupling wear versus compaction versus recovery. It's one of the things we need to think about in the literature. There has not been anything specifically having to do with relative wear tolerance of St. Augustine grass varieties. I know a couple days ago, Barry Stewart did present some information about the stress tolerance of different species of grasses in a dog park, which is kind of interesting, and Palmetto St. Augustine grass did very poorly in that location, although there were other factors besides dog wear, such as drought and winter stress. Most of the studies that have looked at wear have given us some inkling that shoot density, verdure or total biomass, possibly coarseness of the stems of the turf grass varieties may confer on species and varieties an advantage in terms of wear situations. So my objective was to look at grasses in the National Turf Evaluation Program and to study and compare the effects of wear and shade on St. Augustine grass genotypes and examine related morphological factors. And this is very old data. This is from 1991. I hoped to have an opportunity to repeat it, but there was so much work involved. In fact, is that I'm going to be retiring next year. I still thought it was significant. I wanted to present it now. And we took the sod of these 25 different varieties of St. Augustine grasses and transplanted it to both a shade test and a wear test. 4x4 foot plots of 25 varieties were replicated 4 times in a shade structure. Shade wasn't actually put on this structure until 5 months after transplanting, which I think that's kind of important because a lot of the transplant problems people have with allegedly shade tolerant St. Augustine grasses seems to occur fairly early in terms of the assimilation of the grass to the new shade location. And it's generally better not to over-fertilize sod before you ship it to a shade location, or there is a complete leaf senescence and often a complete die-off. Once the shade was added to the structure, it provided 27% relative illumination. It was 73% so-called Saran, which is not even a trademark name, but you know what I'm talking about. And later, I doubled that to confer only 6% relative illumination based on photometric sampling underneath the canopy. Around the edges, I did not close the sidewalls, so there was a bit of additional backscatter. This is a contour chart just showing the micromoles meter squared per second photon flux, and I tried to block the variety sets so that we would be pretty much comparing apples to apples. And so closeness to the edge was a blocking factor. There are the plots underneath the shade canopy, and these were rated at least monthly for 13 months in terms of overall tolerance to the shade, which was effectively a turf grass quality score. At the same time, a wear tolerance test was set up by sodding these same 25 varieties in contiguous side-by-side plots, which was allowed to be a roadway where people were allowed to run golf carts and other vehicles back and forth. In fact, I cordoned off the area to force people to drive on the turf. And I was continuously adding drainage and whatnot to try to remove the compaction factors that could occur in a roadway like this, and it was a sandy soil. We later top dressed it with 10 millimeters of sand just to level it out before any traffic was applied. There you can see the layering that occurred from our you know, soil modification. Plugs were taken to get root mass. Stolons were measured in terms of stolon thickness, stolon width, internode length, leaf thickness, and the results in terms of overall shade and wear tolerance were highly significant for the 25 varieties. And here they are on a scattergram showing the high correlation between wear tolerance and shade tolerance. The blue dots represent polyploids, which is pretty important because a lot of the difference between the poor shade and poor wear tolerance of the St. Augustine grasses down in the lower left corner reflects the fact that the polyploids are just basically poor in the shade and poor in wear. And the rest of them are diploids. That shows you the wear test with a tremendous amount of wear on some varieties and not so bad on others. Remember, we did top dress so that any differences in the thickness of the level of the sod that was installed should not have been a problem. That's Floratam St. Augustine grass in the foreground, Del Mar, which did pretty well in the wear test, but not so well in the shade test. There are two varieties, DD2, which is something that Terry Reardon had developed on the right, Delmar variety on the left. There were lots of attempts I made to do stepwise regression to correlate, and I realized it was kind of going nowhere because I was getting a little different responses depending on whether I was looking at the diploids, the polyploids, or the population as a whole. So I wanted to find one morphological indicator that seemed to be most sensible and simple, and that as a hypothesis, which I'm generating, is internode volume. And I found that by multiplying the pi r squared of the diameter of the stolon times the length of the internode, I could get internode volume. And it happened to be not only highly correlated to shade tolerance, but also to wear tolerance. So the smaller internode plants having more shade and wear tolerance. Need to caution you, I had two outliers that are not represented here, that they were just skewing all the results. Had very, very small stolons, but most of the varieties fit a pretty strong pattern here. Now, the conclusions that I'd like to offer are that, first of all, if you're going to be studying shade tolerance, particularly in St. Augustine grass, it seems that 10% to 20% relative illumination, either measured in terms of photon flux or in terms of photometric illumination, is a good range to be looking at, because that's the real stress range for St. Augustine grass. And try to define acceptability. I like the approach of not having to go into curvilinear regression because it complicates. Because if you can get something that grows well in the shade, that's really what your object is. Try to isolate, in the case of traffic, try to isolate compaction and wear. Don't be looking at the two simultaneously. And as far as genotypes, there may be more variability in the St. Augustine grasses in some cases than among different species. So, you know, blanket statement that St. Augustine grass is shade tolerant is clearly not true in the case of Floridam St. Augustine grass. And then finally, as far as education, try to develop useful tools. And I don't really have time to go into detail on one of these, but when we get calls from people that say, okay, I've got a shade problem, what kind of grass should I use? It gets to be very difficult to explain to people how to measure shade. It is probably not physically possible for a homeowner to go out and do this. I've tried to suggest methods with a single lens reflex camera that seem to work, but probably you should define the site more in terms of the size of the trees, the height of the canopy, because that's an easier way to describe the shade environment than actually, you know, to go out and measure it. If you have to, you know, communicate that to a third party, a homeowner, or someone that has neither the equipment or the expertise to do that. So anyway, St. Augustine grass varieties that are dwarf tend to have better shade and wear tolerance. And so what I would hope for as people consider temporary parking lots, places to grow turf grass for churches, community colleges that have a temporary use, that actually some of the dwarf varieties of St. Augustine grass probably have the capability of being driven on, again, properly designed and constructed for drainage and proper irrigation. So that's it. I think I've got 11 seconds left approximately. So probably should we defer questions until later? Okay, thank you very much.